Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you the day after Ash Wednesday. And a couple of days ago, an educator, a teacher, wrote a small story in our newspaper, the New Orleans Advocate, and it's titled, "Mardi Gras Culture Cheapens New Orleans, Shows We Have Poor Priorities." Well, he says he used to love Mardi Gras, but now that he's older and he's got kids that he's bothered by, and he brings up the two people who died during this Mardi Gras season. They were run over by floats. I'm going to read you a little bit what he said verbatim here. He says, and by the way, his name is Marcus Patton. And he's he's an educator, he says. He says, "Mardi Gras is upon us and already tragedy has struck. I have come to expect death and tragedy to accompany Mardi Gras at this point. But something about this tragic incident has struck me. There were reports the victims may have been reaching for beads or was attempting to cross between hitched floats. Regardless, to think that a human being died for something so utterly worthless as some plastic beads is abhorrent. It is time we reevaluate our priorities and start realizing the harmful aspects of our culture. Mardi Gras is the foundation of both our city and economy, and I think it might be the main reason why Louisiana ranks near last in almost every measurement among the 50 states. We put Mardi Gras culture on a pedestal and refuse to see what it really is. Mardi Gras promotes drunkenness, debauchery, gluttony, pollution, and general mayhem. Despite all this, we consider it a family event, and we raise our children to adore this time of year. Growing up, I loved going to parades and spending time with my family and friends. But now I have grown older and started my own family, I have begun to question our shared cultural values. At what expense do we let the good times roll? Mardi Gras simply does not feel safe to me any longer. Last year at Zulu, I saw a man flash a gun that was clearly being carried illegally in his waistband while a police officer danced in the street 25 feet away. The next day, I read that several people had been injured in a shooting on the very same parade route. I couldn't help but wonder if another cop who was letting the good times roll could have prevented the incident by simply doing his job and staying alert. Do the benefits of Mardi Gras outweigh the risks? And who really benefits from Mardi Gras anyways? Not the many victims of a culture that puts personal pleasure over the safety of the community." And then he finishes by saying, "I am boycotting Mardi Gras this year. I fail to see how it benefits anyone besides the multinational hotel chains and the political elites of this city, who would rather spend our tax dollars on bringing in more tourists than creating a safe and clean environment where citizens could lead healthy, happy, and prosperous lives. New Orleans is more than a place where tourists go to party and vomit in the streets." Marcus Patton, educator.
Bitch, please!
Look, here's the thing. Mind about... All right. I'm a New Orleanian. Fat Tuesday, you know this, is the only holiday that I really, truly celebrate. I participate in all the rest of them, but this is the one that I really, truly celebrate. The flaw in his theory is he's making it seem like the things that happen during Mardi Gras is Mardi Gras' fault. Anytime you have a big event with that many amount of people, there's going to be something that doesn't, you know, there's bad apples in every bunch. We had the LSU championship game down here. Did not some people get shot? That was from different parishes. Did not somebody try to go into the parking lot of the Superdome prior to that? There was the big game in Florida, the Super Bowl. I'm quite sure in Florida they had some instances. St. Patrick's Day, look,
Coleman,
Carnival.
There's no doubt. I don't know the exact number of people that came in to town for Mardi Gras. I know hotel capacity was around 90%. Let's say several hundred thousand people. I don't know if it was 800,000 people. Maybe upwards of 1 million people came into town over the 2 weeks for Mardi Gras. All right, two people died, but it's how they died.
All right. Accidents happen. It's like he's making it seem like they was trying to put themselves in danger purposely for Mardi Gras beads. I'm quite sure if they knew they had died before they reached out for the Mardi Gras, even if that's the reason why they tried to grab them, if they didn't have the forethought to think, yeah, I might die grabbing these beads, they wouldn't have done it. They're not purposely putting themselves in harm's way, unlike the running of the bulls in other countries.
Well, I don't know what this guy wants. I don't know if he wants Mardi Gras to end, but Mardi Gras, it pretty much defines New Orleans. It is something that brings in lots of money. Look, we're not known for anything else, nor are we going to be known for anything else. We're
known for jazz. We're known for good food.
We're known for tourism.
Yeah.
We make our money from tourism. We're never going to make our money from making anything here and selling it. We're just not. We make our money from tourism. And imagine how much less of that money there would be if we ended Mardi Gras.
There'll be a lot less.
If you're listening right now, I mean, look, I don't know what this guy wants, but he calls himself an educator, a teacher. Do you agree with what he's saying? Because I have some friends that are born and raised here that are so happy that it's over. They're like, this drunken ridiculousness, this two-week mess is over. How do you feel? Do you agree with this guy? Look, I live in the middle of Mardi Gras. And I live in the middle of the Mardi Gras roots. I've lived here for 12 years now. I enjoy it when it comes, and I'm happy when it's gone now that it's over because now I can get my neighborhood back. It's a big moneymaker for the city of New Orleans. Do you agree with what this educator is saying? Should something be done about Mardi Gras to curve it back? Should you stop telling your children, boy, this is great, and this is what we're all about, and look at all these people out on the streets getting hammered and throwing up and urinating in the streets and having a good time. I think Mardi Gras is so much more than that. I think this guy here is missing the tradition aspect. Or do you agree with this guy? Text us, 504-260-9595. Keep them short and sweet. Put your first name or your initials at the end of the text. If it's good and it adds to our show, we'll read it. And please don't text while you're driving here on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you the day after Ash Wednesday. And a couple of days ago, someone an educator, a teacher, wrote a story, a small story in our newspaper, the New Orleans Advocate, and it's titled, Mardi Gras Culture Cheapens New Orleans, Shows We Have Poor Priorities. Yeah, well, he says he used to love Mardi Gras, but now that he's older and he's got kids that he's bothered by it, and he brings up the two people who died during this Mardi Gras season. They were run over by floats. I'm going to read you a little bit what he said verbatim here. He says, and by the way, his name is Marcus Patton, and he's a, again, he's an educator, he says. He says, Mardi Gras is upon us and already tragedy has struck. I have come to expect death and tragedy to accompany Mardi Gras at this point. But something about this tragic incident has struck me. There were reports the victims may have been reaching for beads or was attempting to cross between hitched floats. Regardless, to think that a human being died for something so utterly worthless as some plastic beads is abhorrent. It is time we reevaluate our priorities and start realizing the harmful aspects of our culture. Mardi Gras is the foundation of both our city and economy, and I think it might be the main reason why Louisiana ranks near last in almost every measurement among the 50 states. We put Mardi Gras culture on a pedestal and refuse to see what it really is. Mardi Gras promotes drunkenness, debauchery, gluttony, pollution, and general mayhem. Despite all this, we consider it a family event, and we raise our children to adore this time of year. Growing up, I loved going to parades and spending time with my family and friends. But now I have grown older and started my own family, I have begun to question our shared cultural values. At what expense do we let the good times roll? Mardi Gras simply does not feel safe to me any longer. Last year at Zulu, I saw a man flash a gun that was clearly being carried illegally in his waistband while a police officer danced in the street 25 feet away. The next day, I read that several people had been injured in a shooting on the very same parade route. I couldn't help but wonder if another cop who was letting the good times roll could have prevented the incident by simply doing his job and staying alert. Do the benefits of Mardi Gras outweigh the risks? And who really benefits from Mardi Gras anyways? Not the many victims of a culture that puts personal pleasure over the safety of the community. And then he finishes by saying, I am boycotting Mardi Gras this year. I fail to see how it benefits anyone besides the multinational hotel chains and the political elites of this city who would rather spend our tax dollars on bringing in more tourists than creating a safe and clean environment where citizens could lead healthy, happy, and prosperous lives. New Orleans is more than a place where tourists go to party and vomit in the streets. Marcus Patton, educator.
Best please!
Here's the thing. All right. I'm a New Orleanian. Fat Tuesday, you know, this is the only holiday that I really, truly celebrate. I participate in all the rest of them, but this is the one that I really, truly celebrate. The flaw in his theory is he's making it seem like the things that happened during Mardi Gras is Mardi Gras's fault. Anytime you have a big event with that many amount of people, there's going to be something that doesn't, you know, there's bad apples in every bunch. We had the LSU championship game down here. Did not some people get shot? That was from different parishes. Did not somebody try to go into the parking lot of the Superdome prior to that? There was the big game in Florida, the Super Bowl. I'm quite sure in Florida they had some instances. St. Patrick's Day. Look.
Coleman,
Carnival.
There's no doubt. I don't know the exact number of people that came in to town for Mardi Gras. I know hotel capacity was around 90%. Let's say several hundred thousand people. I don't know if it was 800,000 people. Maybe upwards of 1 million people came into town over the 2 weeks for Mardi Gras. All right, two people died, but it's how they died.
All right. Accidents happen. It's like he's making it seem like they was trying to put themselves in danger purposely for Mardi Gras beads. I'm quite sure if they knew they had died before they reached out for the Mardi Gras, even if that's the reason why they tried to grab them, if they didn't have the forethought to think, yeah, I might die grabbing these beads, they wouldn't have done it. They're not purposely putting themselves in harm's way, unlike the running of the bulls in other countries.
Well, I don't know what this guy wants. I don't know if he wants Mardi Gras to end. But Mardi Gras, it pretty much defines New Orleans. It is something that brings in lots of money. Look, we're not known for anything else, nor are we going to be known for anything else. We're known for jazz.
We're known for good food.
We're known for tourism.
Yeah.
We make our money from tourism. We're never going to make our money from making anything here and selling it. We're just not. We make our money from tourism. And imagine how much less of that money there would be if we ended Mardi Gras.
There'll be a lot less.
If you're listening right now, I mean, look, I don't know what this guy wants, but he calls himself an educator, a teacher. Do you agree with what he's saying? Because I have some friends that are born and raised here that are so happy that it's over. They're like, this drunken ridiculousness, this two-week mess is over. How do you feel? Do you agree with this guy? Look, I live in the middle of Mardi Gras. And I live in the middle of the Mardi Gras roots. I've lived here for 12 years now. I enjoy it when it comes, and I'm happy when it's gone now that it's over, because now I can get my neighborhood back. It's a big moneymaker for the city of New Orleans. Do you agree with what this educator is saying? Should something be done about Mardi Gras to curve it back? Should you stop telling your children, boy, this is great, and this is what we're all about, and look at all these people out on the streets getting hammered and throwing up and urinating in the streets and having a good time. I think Mardi Gras is so much more than that. I think this guy here is missing the tradition aspect. Or do you agree with this guy? Text us, 504-260-9595. Keep them short and sweet. Put your first name or your initials at the end of the text. If it's good and it adds to our show, we'll read it. And please don't text while you're driving here on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Styx sounded real good the other night. Saturday night, they played the Endymion Ball, which is usually in the Superdome.
Endymion Extravaganza,
yeah.
Per email.
Yeah, the Endymion Extravaganza. It's usually at the Superdome, but this year some renovations were going on in the Dome, and so they had it at the Convention Center. And from what I saw, they sounded really, really good, Styx, on Saturday night here. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Good morning. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
February 27th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 1827, New Orleanians take to the streets for Mardi Gras. Yeah, today in 1827, the very first parade, as a group of masked and costumed students dance through the streets of New Orleans, marking the beginning of the city's famous Mardi Gras celebrations. And I don't think on today in 1827, the very first Mardi Gras parade, I don't think anybody got run over by Mardi Gras floats.
No, but I heard they were flashing, though.
Well, hey, tradition's got to start somewhere. And that all started today in 1827. February 27th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1977. Not a great day for Rolling Stone Keith Richards. He was sleeping in his hotel room in Toronto at the Harbor Castle Hotel when he was awakened by Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and they arrested him for heroin possession.
Oh.
Yeah, that was today in 1977 that happened to Keith Richards. February 27th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1980 at the 22nd Annual Grammy Awards, Billy Joel won Album of the Year for his album 52nd Street. What's interesting about that is you don't see very many rock and roll albums being named Album of the Year at the Grammys anymore. And that happened today in 1980. But also today in 1980 at the Grammy Awards, the Doobie Brothers and their album won Album of the Year. So there were two rock and roll albums that won Album of the Year today in 1980, and I can promise you that'll never ever happen again.
That was one album and one single, right? Or was both of them had Album of the Year? Like one.
They made a mistake. They ended up giving Album of the Year that year.
Okay.
To Billy Joel and the Doobie Brothers. So that was very very unique. And that's our segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, there's a guy who started a website. It actually kind of started on Twitter as well. It got very popular because it's got very good-looking women's mugshots who have just been arrested. We're going to explain more coming up. He's taken a little bit of heat for it because people are saying, how could you be promoting these women who are doing bad things? But they're really good-looking. I think that's the reason why. We'll explain, and we'll show them to you coming up as well. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So a man on his Twitter account decided to just start putting up pictures of very attractive women's mugshots. And now it's gotten real big. He calls it Mug Shorties. That'd be Mugshawtys. A 24-year-old electrician named Josh Jeffrey.
Great young man.
He was seeing some very attractive female mugshots while he was online, and he decided to just start putting those mugshots on a Twitter handle, on his Twitter account, and he called it Mug Shorties, and now it's gone viral. It's got about at least a quarter of a million followers. This has just gone up over the last couple of days. And by the way, I've got a handful of these. I've got a six-pack of these Mug Shorties. If you'd like to see them, they're on our website. You can just go to bayou957.com. You know, when we talk about attractive female mugshots, which we have before on this show, I'm always impressed because when a woman gets arrested and is taking her mugshot, it's not her best day. And usually it's kind of difficult to look really hot when you're posing for a mugshot in a police station after you just got arrested and, you know, your life is going to change a little bit, at least. You know, there was a story, and you might remember this, going back a few years, about this guy who got arrested. and they took his mugshot, and his mugshot went viral. They said he's the best-looking guy who has ever posed for a mugshot. And when he got out of prison, he ended up getting work in front of a camera. And he made a bunch of money. This woman married him. Then he left her. And then he married another woman. But you might remember that a few years ago. This is a Twitter handle. And I think he may be starting a website, too, of just all really good-looking women who have been arrested. And they've been arrested for different things. I mean, this one really good-looking woman has been arrested for possession of marijuana. That's not even a crime now in, 12 or 13 states?
Yeah, that doesn't count. She's not a hardcore criminal. She's not hardened.
But then you got this other one who's really good-looking, and she got arrested for stealing someone's identity and then spending their money, stealing their money because she stole their identity. And, man, it makes you look at her and say, she's really good-looking, even though she did that.
Two things I noticed. Every time we put an attractive mugshot on our Bayou page or on our Facebook page, most of the men are like, yeah, we get it. She's hot. But it's the women that's like, what? You consider that hot? Because most of these women, they're not made up. They don't have their eyelashes
on.
But it goes to show you men's standard of beauty is more inclusive than women's standard of beauty. We don't need all that makeup. These women aren't that made up. They just got arrested. Some of them even had violent encounters with the police officers. And they still, to us, are attractive.
That's a good point, Coleman, because if you look at our website at Bayou957.com, we're always putting stuff up there. And I put up, if there's a good-looking woman, whoever gets arrested for something, that you see the mugshot, wow. And that's a good point you just made. Because a lot of women, if I say something on the show, or if I put it on the station's Facebook page and say something, look at this hot woman who got arrested, sometimes women will say, she's hot, ?
Yeah.
And just imagine, it's probably her worst day. She doesn't have her makeup done the way she normally does, and her hair probably doesn't look the way she normally wants it to look. So, you know, and I can see through that.
Yeah, it's because it's all about their personality. Now, here's what I do find interesting. I'm going through the Twitter page now. The hotter the woman, the worse the crime. Like the ones with marijuana possession, drunk driving, they're about 7, 8. But the ones that does like attempted murder and violence against a federal officer, they're like 10s and 11s.
Yeah, and again, this guy's name is Josh Jeffrey. He just started putting these pictures up on his Twitter page. And he says, quote, a lot of people send me their own mugshots. I get about 15 to 20 direct messages a day of different ones. Some women actually beg him to put their mugshot on his now starting to get famous Twitter page, Mugshorties. He says, quote, they definitely want some kind of exposure. And some could even use help maybe bailing out of jail. And he never puts pictures up there of anyone who doesn't want them up there. And if anybody ever asks them, take my picture down, he does. Mugshots are public record, by the way. Anybody could put mugshots up because, you know, they want you to spread mugshots around because you got to watch out for these people. These people could commit a crime, or they could do harm to you and your family too. But I'm looking at some of these on Mugshorties right now, and
it started in December. He already has well over 80 to 100 mugshots of these hot women that have been arrested. Like, I didn't know so many hot women were hardcore criminals like that. It makes me look at hot women different now.
And again, they send him the pictures. He doesn't, and he says he doesn't want to make any money off of this.
Well, he should change his mind now, because he can definitely make some money off this.
Because some woman wrote to him saying that, this guy's based in California, some woman wrote to him and said that, he actually said that it's insane if anybody makes money or charges money to see hot women's mugshots, and he called it the most bleeped up thing that he's ever heard of.
Well, consider me bleeped up, because I'm thinking about opening up an opportunity here. He doesn't want to do it. I will.
He doesn't want to profit off of it. And again, mugshots, Coleman, are pretty much free unless you start charging for them, because they're public record, and they want people to watch out for these people because these people could commit a crime against them. That's why mugshots are free.
Ah, see, and he's also providing a service. He's letting the general public look out for these women. The coolest one is these twins. It looks like two different mugshots of the same person, but he had to put in parentheses, these are two different mugshots. They just happen to be twins. They both were arrested for engaging in prostitution.
Very good looking, too. Again, if you want to see those, we got a six-pack of them up there now. They're really good-looking women. They're mugshots on their worst day. Go to our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And so now that Mardi Gras has come and gone, how much longer is it going to take for the city of New Orleans and the folks who are in charge of the partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel on Canal Street to get those two dead bodies out of there? It's been over 4 months now, and I can't imagine this happening in any other city in the United States of America. I can't imagine another city. I mean, just think, Atlanta, Tampa, Houston, Dallas. Can you imagine any other American city where an under-construction building collapses, there are two dead bodies inside, and here we are over 4 months, 4.5 months later, nothing has changed. The two dead bodies are still in there. The pile of rubble is still there. And instead of scurrying, doing whatever she has to do to get this taken care of, all the mayor of New Orleans can do is just blame, just point fingers and blame. Meanwhile, and again, we're talking about LaTax de Cantrell, a woman who hasn't paid her federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years. Imagine any other city in America that would have that. New Orleans has to be the only city in America that has a sitting mayor who has not paid federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years. The only year she did pay them was the year she was running for mayor. I can't imagine either of those two things happening in any other city in the United States, and I've lived in a few of them. So now, how long is it going to be? And by the way, we had to reroute two of the biggest Mardi Gras parades so they wouldn't go directly right in front of the partially collapsed building with the two dead bodies in it. It ended up taking a right off of Canal Street right before it got to the Hard Rock site, the macabre site. And so now that Mardi Gras is over, how much longer is it going to take them? And a couple of City of New Orleans employees have already been suspended from their jobs because they faked inspections at that Hard Rock site. Again, two people.
Last week, we used GPS data to show you when city building inspectors filed inspection reports at the Hard Rock Hotel without stopping anywhere near the project. The city reacted by suspending two inspectors, Julie Tweeter and Eric Treadaway, and alleging they falsified their inspection reports. They allegedly filed these photos taken by the builders and passed them off as their own. Tweeter and Treadaway have civil service hearings scheduled for March 9th to show why they shouldn't be fired. And now the city has confirmed that Tweeter and Treadaway also didn't show up for four inspections in April and May 2019 at the Four Seasons Project, a renovation of the old World Trade Center tower on the riverfront. And city records also show Tweeter didn't show up for an inspection she claimed to do in April on the second floor of the parking garage at the Odeon, a new 29-story building that just topped out in South Market.
So, again, city inspectors were no-shows at least two more downtown building projects that are going up right now. Yeah, those two should be fired. We've told you about the former city inspector in the city of New Orleans who was arrested and admitted to taking a bribe, a $65,000 bribe from somebody building a building. And that already happened. And I'm sure the more they investigate into the Hard Rock situation and now these other buildings, I think in the Hard Rock situation, you may find fault on both ends. We know there's fault in City Hall, the idiot box, underneath LaTax de Cantrell. We know there's fault there. These two should be fired, and I'm sure they're going to be finding more crooked people. when it comes to that. And our mayor, our tax cheat of a mayor, she wrote a letter to the Hard Rock International asking them for $2.4 million. She wanted that money to maybe help start cleaning up and maybe get those dead bodies out of there. It's been a morgue on Canal Street, and an outdoor morgue on Canal Street now for over 4 months. She asked Hard Rock International for $2.4 million, and they said no, and they weren't happy. They weren't happy about it either. In a tense letter exchange, Hard Rock International denies New Orleans tax cheat mayor a request of $2.4 million. So how much longer do you think it's going to take until they get those two dead bodies out of there now that Mardi Gras is over? They better have them out of there by Jazz Fest, right?
Dude, I'm so surprised that it took this long for something like this to even be exposed. Because the most surprising thing about that entire story was that the people that were supposed to be doing the inspections at the building were asking contractors to send them pictures while they're at the site, like the people that's actually building the building. And they took those pictures and passed them off to the inspectors. So it's like, nowhere in the chain of command. If I was one of the guys, like, why do you, no, really come inspect this?
Fake pictures.
Yeah. So that part is so surprising to me that none of the people building were like, you know what? No, I'm not doing it. You need to bring your ass down here and inspect it yourself. I'm not doing it. I'm in the heat. You know, this is summertime. I'm in the heat. I'm sweating my balls off. And you want me to send you pictures while you're in the air-conditioned building and you pass them off as contract? Dude, that was something about that just rubs me. It rubs me the wrong way from top to bottom.
That's a good point, Coleman. And so we already know that, this is why I call City Hall in New Orleans the idiot box. We already know that city inspectors have taken bribes. We know that they're not showing up to jobs that they say they're showing up to. They're not even qualified for the jobs. When you look at their resume, I'm telling you, City Hall, the idiot box here in New Orleans, you need to stick a hose in it, one of the windows. It needs an enema. And this is all under our tax cheat of a mayor. Every time she opens her mouth, no matter what she's talking about, A, it's never her fault. I'm always putting the blame on other people. And B, the only thing that goes through my mind, no matter what she's talking about, is you haven't paid your federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years. Why aren't you in jail? What would happen to you or I right now if you're listening to this show if we didn't pay our federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years? We wouldn't be mayor of an American city. I'll tell you that much right now. But she is. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. New Orleans, live and local morning show. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Boy, oh boy, I love living in New Orleans, but we have a few issues, and our mayor right now happens to be one of them. I mean, she was a history-making mayor. She was the first female, the first woman ever to become mayor of the city of New Orleans. And so that made her history-making. I always used to call her LaTweeta Cantrell because she loves Twitter. She loves to tweet and retweet. She likes things. Hashtag City of Yes. She loves Twitter. But ever since I found out she hasn't paid her federal income taxes in eight out of the last 9 years, and again, the only year she paid them is the year she ran for mayor because she knew she had to. She's basically giving her and her husband are giving the IRS the double-barreled salute with middle fingers. And with the situation on Canal Street, I'll tell you what. Continually not paying her income tax, building inspectors not qualified for their jobs and then lying about work, leaving two dead bodies in a pile of rubble on Canal Street for over 4 months. LaToya Cantrell is not running a city. She's running a criminal enterprise. You talk about someone who's in over her head when it comes to handling your job. All right, coming up next. You know, the coronavirus, some people here in America say that this is being blown out of proportion, even though we have a few cases here now in the States. I'll tell you where it's not blown out of proportion in America. The damn stock market. The coronavirus has made the stock market very sick over the last 3 days. It better get well soon. We'll talk. And one of our senators, John Kennedy, he's not happy about all of this. We'll tell you about that coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Queen there, and I just read where a suburban London street, a street over in West London, England, has just been renamed in honor of Freddie Mercury. The street is now called Freddie Mercury Close, and it's a private street. It's in West London, which is where Freddie Mercury's family settled after moving there from Zanzibar when he was a child. He did not grow up on that street. They grew up on the street next to that street at 22 Gladstone Avenue, and that home is marked with one of the round blue plaques that they use in the United Kingdom to commemorate places that have historical connections. I like history like that. So, but it's not that street. It's the next street. Maybe the people on that street didn't want their street renamed. So it was the street next to that over there in West London, England. And did you know Freddie Mercury? That wasn't his name when he was born.
No, you don't say.
Coleman, his name was Farouk Bulsara. I think Freddie Mercury has a better ring to it.
Yeah. Freddie Mercury is a lot better than Freddie Uranus.
Mm. But I like that when they commemorate buildings where someone that everybody would know who they are grew up. I still wish there are some homes around New Orleans where you see that, but they didn't do it with Louis Armstrong's home. Because the new City Hall, the Idiot Box, is right across the way from where Louis Armstrong grew up, and they were row houses, really cheap, like two-room houses. I don't know if they had indoor plumbing or not, but they knocked them all down. There's a little marker, but they marked all the houses, and they couldn't keep up the house where Louis Armstrong grew up here in New Orleans.
Well, that spot on Gladstone is already marked as a historical place with that blue circle plaque, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they couldn't change the name, because now it is historical. It's part of the history. They would have to go back and change everything in the record books if they changed the name to Freddie, so they had to do it the next
Good
street
point.
Over.
Good point. If Freddie Mercury grew up at 22 Gladstone Avenue,
mm-hmm.
then it probably has to remain
yep.
Gladstone Avenue forever. It's a good point you made there, Coleman. Hey, the real quick, the coronavirus, it's got a lot of people going crazy. And even though it started in China and it's over in Asia, it's escaped Asia. It's left Asia, and it's in some different places. As a matter of fact, here in America, there's a couple of people that have the coronavirus. They're keeping them secluded here in the United States, and some people think that it's just the news making a big deal out of something that really doesn't affect us. But if that's the case, it really is affecting our stock market.
Yeah.
Because the last 3 days, our stock market has just gone way down, and it's all because of fears of the coronavirus. And I know one of our senators, John Kennedy, is not happy about that, and he's not happy with the Homeland Security chief over the preparations for the coronavirus. Is that something that you're worried about? Look, the regular flu that comes here every winter in America, that kills a lot more people than the coronavirus has.
Yeah, I heard Kennedy, he was grilling that guy, and the guy was trying to give him answers, but John Kennedy wanted answers that the guy couldn't answer right there at the time because the coronavirus is still being worked on, is still being experimented on with like cures and all of that. And I think John Kennedy was upset because I'm guessing he's thinking that however we can combat this epidemic, that the answers should be right there. But the thing is, it's not, it is over. Dude, 98% of the people that catch coronavirus survive. Only 2% actually die. And more people are killed by the common flu than the actual coronavirus strand. So the media is making a bigger deal out of it than it actually is.
I wish the stock market realized that.
I wish our politicians realized that. Because I think John Kennedy's asking for money now.
Well, the president has asked for $2.5 billion to combat the coronavirus. Senate Democrats have requested $8.5 billion to combat the coronavirus. Hey, let's take $8.5 billion and fight coronavirus.
That seems like a money grab because they're either they are really in fear that it is an epidemic, or they are using the fear outrage that the media is putting out there as an excuse to get more money. Because the coronavirus is not as serious as the media is making it seem to be.
And Congressman Steve Scalise from Metairie, he's on record. He said, quote, "This is not a political issue. Coronavirus doesn't care about your party affiliation if it's going to strike. Luckily, we've been able to limit its influence coming into the United States." And, you know, if you see people wearing masks, there has to be a certain type of mask you wear, which they're sold out of right now, from what I understand. Your regular surgical masks aren't going to protect you from coronavirus. So anybody running around with a regular surgical mask, that's basically for show right now, because that's not going to stop the coronavirus. Again, it costs about $90, the mask you need.
Oh, no. I'll just take a shot of Jaeger.
Yeah, the mask you need, or do that. Alcohol is really what kills the coronavirus. Exactly. That is a fact. But if you see people running around with regular surgical masks, they don't work. The mask that you got to put over your face, if you're so inclined, it costs about $90, and last I checked, they were sold out. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So on Monday's show, we talked about the heavyweight championship of the world fight on Saturday night, this past Saturday night. And, you know, I had mentioned how when I was younger, boy, it seemed like, you know, there were so many more bigger name heavyweight boxers. It seemed like boxing was so much bigger. And, you know, you go way back, there was a time in this country where boxing and horse racing and baseball were the three most popular sports in this country. Obviously, we're a long way away from there. But I remember when I was a kid, I mean, when I was a little kid, there was Muhammad Ali, right? Although he was at the end of his rope at that point. But there were big name heavyweight. I mean, just the sound of it. The heavyweight championship of the world. You know, a heavyweight title fight. They're very few and far between with names that you recognize anymore. And I think there are a few reasons for that. I think boxing has gotten so watered down with so many different divisions, so many different categories. I also think that mixed martial arts, MMA, I think things like the UFC, Ultimate Fighting Challenge, I think, especially with a lot of the younger viewers, I think that is more exciting for a lot of viewers to watch.
Another trend is that now people who still like boxing, they're more geared towards the welterweight and featherweights because the pacing is faster.
Much faster.
A lot of more punches thrown instead of, you know, the big heavyweights.
Sure.
They're very defensive. They block a lot, and they're always trying to get that one power shot, but so it's not a lot of action.
Well, the reason I brought this up again is because we talked about it on Monday, and then we were off for Fat Tuesday and Ash Wednesday. The guy from England, Tyson Fury, who has battled depression his whole life, when he first made it as a fighter, you know, he was doing well, but then he got depressed. He ended up gaining all kinds of weight. He was over 400 pounds, and they had to get him back into shape. And when he fought this guy from Alabama, Deontay Wilder, they fought a few years ago. Even though Tyson Fury beat him, they called it a draw. So they fought again this past Saturday night, and Tyson Fury beat the hell out of Deontay Wilder, the guy from Alabama.
Hiya!
And did you see what one of the excuses was that just came up over the last couple of days when we weren't here?
I've heard it.
He wore a 40-pound costume to celebrate Black History Month into the ring, and they're saying that 40-pound costume might have tired him out and wore out his legs, and that contributed to him being technically knocked out in the seventh round of last Saturday night's heavyweight championship of the world fight in Las Vegas to Tyson Fury.
Out of all the excuses of excuses, that's probably the wildest, the most Deontay wildest one I've ever heard. I get it. Carrying 40 pounds is a bit, but he was walking to, it's not like he ran to the ring like the Ultimate Warrior. He walked to it. He paced himself.
Yeah, what an excuse to give to lose a fight. Well, my costume that I was wearing before the fight, as I walked into the fight, it knocked me out. It really gave me the first punch, and then the second, third, fourth, and fifth came from Tyson Fury in the ring.
For comparison, how heavy is the gear that hockey players or football players wear when they go out to the rink or the field? Give or take, about maybe 20, 30 pounds, something like that.
Not quite that much. I'd say a football player and a hockey player, 10 pounds tops.
10 pounds?
Tops.
Yeah, now.
Yeah, now. Tops. But again, I did not watch the fight last Saturday night because last Saturday night was Endymion Saturday, and we were having a great time on the deck, the patio of Vintage Rock Club before someone got run over and that parade got cut really short. So I didn't buy it because I was planning on being out all night for the Endymion party. I watched a replay of it actually.
Okay.
Tyson Fury pounded the hell out of him for all seven of those rounds. And now they're hoping maybe to have a Fury Wilder 3. But Fury beat him bad the second time. Fury even beat him the first time, but they called it a draw. And it's pretty wild. I asked you, because you're a black guy, Coleman. I saw a couple of my black friends said, because Deontay Wilder's black and Tyson Fury's white, they said, you let us down, Deontay.
I never got that mentality, though. I never understood, like, when there's a big boxing match sort of this level, where it's Muhammad Ali versus the world, that we take pride in the race of the competitor. Like, I don't buy that. Just because Deontay Wilder's black, I'm not automatically going to root for him. He doesn't represent me. I don't feel proud or sad whether he wins or loses. It's just
some black guys do. I saw him on Facebook.
I'm more into, like, local team. New Orleans Saints, I'm a fan because I'm from New Orleans. I get it.
I get that.
You know what I'm saying? But,
well, the ironic part about the fight, the black guy, Deontay Wilder, lost to a white guy named Tyson Fury.
And Tyson donated his purse, $9 million to the homeless after the match.
Pretty cool. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And if you can hear me right now, you made it through Mardi Gras 2020. And with the two people dying being run over by the Mardi Gras floats, earlier in the show, we talked about how an educator here in New Orleans wrote an op-ed piece that was in our newspaper here in town, the New Orleans Advocate, saying that Mardi Gras culture cheapens New Orleans, shows we have poor priorities. He says it's about getting drunk, debauchery, boobs, and yet we look at it as a family event. We tell our children about it, and we bring our children to Mardi Gras. And he says this is probably one of the main reasons why Louisiana as a state is dead last in the good things when it comes to the United States, like education and healthcare and things like that. And I don't know if I'd go that far.
I put on my Facebook page Wednesday that I'm extending my Mardi Gras celebration to the weekend. I'm sad that it was over Tuesday. On Wednesday, I still wanted more, so I'm going to be selling Mardi Gras up until Saturday.
Yeah, right. Well, this educator, his name is Marcus Patton, and he wants us to all look at ourselves in the mirror and say, do we really need this? Is it worth it? Well, Mardi Gras is it's a cash cow for the city and the businesses that do business in the city. It makes a lot of money every year, annually. And what are we just going to say, no, that's it? How about a little personal responsibility when enjoying something that started in 1827? I get the history. And again, how about a little more taking care of ourselves and our friends and stop blaming Mardi Gras for everything? As a matter of fact, the cancel culture is so out of control now. They want us to change the name of Fat Tuesday to Bloated Tuesday. Or they'd settle for Big Boned Tuesday, they said. It's getting out of control. We made it, though, through another year. Hey, it's 8:35. It's time for us to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Shocker, it came out of Florida. And this is our second crazy Florida story today. Earlier in the show, we talked about some crazy monkeys in Florida that have herpes. And they're spreading the herpes virus because they refuse to wear rubbers. Ew. Yeah, they won't wear condoms, but that's a fact. So here's our second crazy Florida story of the day. Florida hospital worker arrested for sucking patient's toes.
Say what?
A Florida hospital worker was nailed for getting handsy with a patient's foot.
I see what they did there. Nails, hands.
23-year-old Franz Belderin.
Great young man.
Was arrested earlier this week for sucking on a patient's toes while on the clock at Gulf Coast Hospital in Fort Myers, Florida.
So if it was off the clock, it probably wouldn't have made a difference.
Can you imagine if that's what did it for you, Coleman?
Nah.
I see toes there. I'm going to go suck them.
Now, this guy was a doctor?
No, he's just a Florida hospital worker. Looking at his mugshot. I don't want to judge a book by its cover. But, I mean, he could work in the cafeteria and bring food to people. He could clean the rooms. I don't know what he does.
Okay, I was about to say, because if it was a doctor, maybe that was part of the procedure to help the patient or something. Like maybe a technique that he learned from Sri Lanka or something like that. But
the shocked patient told police they felt their right foot being touched around 11 p.m. the other night. They assumed a nurse was checking for swelling. But then they felt their foot being touched again, and then again a third time, feeling something between their toes. After the third time, the patient looked up only to find 23-year-old Franz Belderin.
You idiot!
On his knees with his head bent over their foot. The patient yanked their foot away, and Belderin retreated back to his seat in the room where he was working as a sitter for the patient's roommate who had been deemed a flight risk.
Oh.
So this is a hospital patient sitter. That's what this employee does. One of the things he does, at least.
Something tells me this guy has done this before, but he usually waits. He is probably watching people that's probably unconscious or locked up or something. And he was proud that the guy... He just sat right back down like nothing happened.
Yeah.
He
sat back down, and then that's when the person in the hospital bed pushed the button. The light goes on. Then somebody else came in. They said, "Get the cop." And security was called, and he was arrested on charges of battery on a person 65 years of age or older.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's sucking old toes.
Oh, no. Without consent.
He's being held at last, we checked, he was being held Lee County Jail, a $1,500 bond. That's a lot of toe cheese.
If it ain't the dumbest thing, it's definitely the grossest thing I've heard all day.
I'll tell you what, I realize different things do it for different people. And I've always said, you know, if there were some things that did it for me, I'd commit suicide, like anything to do with children. This, though, is... I've always said that about the foot fetishes, too. You know, you've got this beautiful woman in front of you, and you just want to look straight down and just make a nosedive for the feet. Gah! 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 We thought that was unique. Anyways, the Florida hospital worker arrested for sucking on a patient's toes. And by the way, the patient was over the age of 65. Yeah. Gross and the dumbest thing I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Have you noticed something about Zion Williamson? Besides being the talk of the NBA since he came back from his knee injury, the rookie number one overall pick. He's doing things that have never been done before, or if they have, they've only been done by like Michael Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, he's in the 13 or 14 games he's played, his numbers are great. He's got back into shape. The team's winning again. But have you noticed that's all the on-the-court stuff? Off the court, he does all the right things too. He hasn't screwed up yet. He very rarely will do an interview if they just want to ask him about himself. Anytime they ask him questions, he always deflects towards his teammates when they ask him, whoa, that was a great alley-oop dunk you did. That was a great, well, my teammates are getting me the ball. But he has turned down every request for a personal interview. And people are lined up to interview this guy. He is the talk of the NBA right now. He is what everybody's talking about on ESPN. They lead a lot of their shows with him, what he did in the last game. He really is something else. But as great as he is on the court, off the court, he's doing all the right things. And he's selfless, not wanting to do interviews, like I said, if they're just going to ask him about himself. And when he is asked about himself, he just deflects everything towards his teammates. Smart. That's what you do. And right before they went on the All-Star break, he bought every one of his New Orleans Pelicans teammates Mardi Gras-colored Beats by Dr. Dre earphones. I guess those are the best headphones going. Or they're some of the best headphones going. But he bought every other New Orleans Pelican teammate of his Mardi Gras-colored Beats by Dre earphones.
I didn't even know they came in Mardi Gras color.
So how much do those cost? Because his teammates were fired up. Jahlil Okafor said, quote, they're dope, unquote.
They range about $300, but that's just the standard. If this guy has Mardi Gras color, that can just the design by itself can up it to about $500 in worth, especially if one of the teammates decide to sell it off eBay.
Yeah, but you know how much money Zion's making, not just from in the NBA.
I would like to know.
From endorsement contracts. millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. So, but he's doing he's not just must watch TV now for the basketball fan and even the casual basketball fan. That's why so many of their games are on national television now. But he's doing all the right things, saying all the right things off the court too. And he looks like a great kid.
And he's what, 18, 19 right
he's
now?
He's 19 now.
Okay, we'll see what happens when he turns 21 if he's still in New Orleans.
Oh, he'll be in New Orleans.
So, you know, once he get that first shot of legal alcohol.
Well, the one thing they are saying, he might be over 300 pounds now after the injury. That's the one thing you got to watch out for. He's got to keep his weight a little bit down, because especially in this city with this food. So, all right, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Do you know how binge drinking is defined? Binge drinking is defined as more than 5 drinks in one sitting. Which is why after every 4th drink, I stand up. What do you think? I want them calling me a binge drinker? The commercial free ride continues here on the John Osterlin Morning Show on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Former 2-term Vice President Joe Biden's having a pretty rough time trying to land the Democratic nomination to run against Donald Trump this coming November in the first first Iowa caucus and the first New Hampshire primary. He didn't even show up. Did he even crack the top 5? It was pretty rough for the former vice president. And then the other night in the latest debate in South Carolina, Joe Biden actually said 150 million people in the United States have died of gun violence since 2007. That would be almost half of our population. But he's already, we're used to Joe Biden saying a lot of crazy things. They just call them Biden gaffes. You know, that's what the media always, oh, that's just Joe Biden and the Biden gaffe. As a matter of fact, just yesterday in South Carolina and the day before, he's been playing to half-empty auditoriums when he shows up to speak. And the media's telling him, Vice President Biden, you're playing a half-empty auditorium. He says, they're not half-empty. They're half-full. Hey, at least he's optimistic, right? The commercial free ride continues here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So the other day, the former most powerful man, literally, the most powerful man in Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein, was found guilty in 2 out of the 5 counts rape charges that were filed against him in a New York City courtroom. After he was found guilty of rape, Harvey Weinstein's lawyers said something that has never been said before. Harvey Weinstein is appealing. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? They say he's going to die soon because when you think about it, he was literally the most powerful man in Hollywood. Snapped his fingers, he could have anything he want, whenever he wanted, on a platter delivered to him. Now he's living in a cage. As a matter of fact, they didn't bring him right to Rikers Island jail. They brought him to a hospital. They took his walker away from him because he's been using a walker. Mm. Some people think that's part of the act to try to get jury sympathy. But he's been in a hospital, and they're saying he won't make it a couple of days in prison. When you are that big and have that much money and have that much power and clout over something like Hollywood, California, the entire movie industry, anything you've ever wanted in your life, you could get by snapping your fingers. Now he's in a cell. That's not like, I mean, most people are bumming out when they go to prison, but that is a completely different version of bumming out when you've had everything that you could possibly ever want.
That's why they say enjoy it like it lasts, or enjoy it while it lasts, like Bill Cosby.
That's right, Coleman. So we'll see how long that guy, And that's just about going to do it for our show. Thanks for listening. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.